Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Danny's Diary, the podcast powered by Singing News Magazine. I'm your host, Danny Jones, and I am with Singing News Magazine. My guest today is Libby Perry Stuffel, of course, of the Perrys. And Libby, not only is she one of gospel music's leading alto singers, she is by far one of gospel music's earliest Christmas tree putter uppers, if that is such a word. So,
yeah.
Have you got your Christmas tree already up?
My tree went up the 1st of October.
Wow. You did not waste any time, did you?
No, I always try to have it up by October 1st, which this year was a little late because I was preparing to have hip replacement surgery, so I wasn't in real good shape to be putting up a tree. So my sweet friends, Jaquita Lindsay and Katie Peach and Logan Smith, came over and put my tree up for me.
Ah, so they have spoiled you.
They have spoiled me, yes.
Will they be doing your Christmas tree next year?
If I can figure out a way to get them there.
All right, you've got a year to plan. And, of course, you just alluded to it. The day that we're recording this podcast, you are just 3 weeks post.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Post hip replacement.
2 weeks today.
So how's that going for you?
Great. I feel great. You know, I was in so much pain before, and I didn't realize how bad I was. And my surgeon kept telling me, he said, I can't believe, he said, you went this long, because I was bone against bone. And then I had severe osteoarthritis in there. And he said, you've dealt with this for several years. And I said, well, I've just noticed it in the last year. And which, you know, he knew about Tracy and the caregiving that I had to do for him. And he said, what you did, he said, you were so focused on him that you didn't pay attention to your, you know, symptoms and stuff like that. And he said, then once all of that, you know, got behind you, he said, your body started telling on you. And it did. And but I feel great. I feel my therapist yesterday, he was thrilled. And he said, normally, he said, we keep people 6 weeks. He said, but I think, he said, maybe one more week, you'll be done.
You know, I was on Facebook a few days ago, and I believe it was your sister or maybe your brother had posted a picture of you walking across a parking lot just 2 or 3 days past the surgery. You were using a walker at the time. And
That was probably leaving the hospital.
It could have been.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just amazing what technology can do these days. You know, you can build.
They had me up walking just as well. I came out of recovery, and which I got really nauseated. And so I was like nauseated for a long, long time that afternoon. But that night, they had me up walking.
And
on
here
a walker.
And here you are. You walked in here totally, just like nothing had happened.
No walker, no cane, no nothing.
You gotta love it.
Yeah, I love it.
So what's going on with the Perrys?
Get my life back.
There you go. What's going on with the Perrys these days?
Oh gosh, we just released a new album called "Keep Moving Along," and I've kind of played off of that with this hip replacement stuff. All of my Facebook posts, I play off on it with, you know, "Keep Moving Along." Don't matter what you had done, keep moving along. But we've released that, and so we're really excited about it. And which we got a new single going out, and then we're getting ready for Christmas vacation.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Well, you can enjoy the Christmas tree your friends put up for you.
Hey, I've enjoyed it the past 2 weeks, you know, because I mean, I've kind of been like a shut-in, and so I'm not a TV watcher, so I don't watch TV. And so I'll just sit there with all the lights off, everything but the Christmas tree, and
just had a grand old time.
There. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's peaceful, you know.
You know, speaking of your new album, it's a little bit different from some of the previous Perry's recordings.
It's a happy recording.
It's a happy recording, but what I was specifically referring to, it's an EP. This time,
EP.
Instead of a full project, and I guess full project is really not the right terminology, but there's a lot of trending right now in the musical world of projects, going from a bigger number of songs down to an EP. And some people are a little bit misguided in their thinking about EPs. They've got a negative opinion because it's got a few less songs, but there's actually a very specific reason behind an EP, and a lot of that is simply this. As you know, it takes a long time to find 10, 12, 14 great songs. And with the recording costs being what they are now and all the trappings that go along with professional gospel music and the expense involved, that's a very costly endeavor to do a new recording.
Well, it is, and it's time-consuming,
right,
for the artist and the producer. And, you know, it's not that we don't want to do, you know, 10 to 12 songs. My thought on that is you never sang all of the songs off of a project.
Right.
So why waste them? You know, pick, instead of having, say, 4 or 5 good songs and then having the rest of them filler songs, why not have 6 or 7 power-packed songs?
Right. And get them.
Something that nobody's going to, oh, well, fast forward through that.
Right.
Fast forward through that.
You know, and so you've got an EP of every song truly counts.
Right.
You know, it's great stuff. You're more than likely going to stage every song. And two, you know, with everybody touring as much as they are now, it's hard to find time to schedule a good recording. And
and with this, you're able to record more often.
Right.
Which, you know, fans, they'll come up 2 months after you've recorded and released the project, and they're like, oh, well, we're ready for a new project. You were like, we just released the new one 2 months ago.
Right, and that was my next point. You know, because of the way gospel music is, you know, designed, if you will, you work a circuit. You
exactly.
know, you see a lot of the same people multiple times each year, so you've got to give them something fresh. You need something fresh as a performer. The record company needs something fresh. You know, it's there is a legitimate reason for this, and what people don't understand, everybody's going to be happier in the long run.
Exactly.
And that's what everybody wants to achieve. All right, Libby, now, most of the guests on Danny's Diary are subjected to this little test. And it's a test where I just throw out random names to you to get your initial knee-jerk reaction. And whatever comes off the top of your head is the answer to this.
That could be dangerous.
Yes, it could be.
That
it could
be very
dangerous. But it also leads to some great moments here on the podcast. So I'm just going to start. I'm going to start with the name Bill Bailey.
Bill Bailey. He is a pot stirrer, and he always wants to keep calamity going in, you know, especially our group.
Now, the reason why Libby's saying that is because Bill Bailey is sitting on the other side of the table.
But no, what a lot of people don't realize is Bill Bailey was the first promoter to ever bring us to Florida. And my dad at the time was doing the booking, and we had driven 10 hours. We pulled up this little church, and nobody was there. And so this little boy, well, I'd say he was little. He was 15, 16 years old, comes riding up on a bicycle. And so my dad steps off the bus, and he said, hey, son, he said, can you tell me where I can find a Bill Bailey? And he looked at him. He said, I am Bill Bailey. And we were like, oh, gosh, we have driven 10 hours and for a 15, 16-year-old kid to book us at his church. That's been, what? 33 years ago.
Wow.
And we still have a great relationship when he's not trying to stir the pot on my purple hair. but I will tell you this, and this is kind of, a lot of people don't know this. My dad passed away in 2003, and next week, the 10th, will be the anniversary of his passing. We were on a California trip, and Bill went with us, and before we left, Daddy had never said anything, you know, about going and singing. And so I went to see him in the hospital before we left, and he said, "That sure is a long ways from home for you to be." And I said, "Well," I said, "you'll be okay. You know, I'll be back." And so when we landed in California, we landed in Ontario, California, I called Daddy and, you know, told him we were there and stuff. And so he wanted to know if Bill was with us. And so I told him, yeah. So he talked to Bill, and he made Bill promise him that he would always take care of his kids and look after them.
And he has.
And he has. He's held true to that promise. And so I love to give Bill a hard time. Bill's like an older brother that you wish would get his toe hung in bicycle spoke. But I love to give him a hard time. But that has meant probably more to our group than anything, because he's held true to his word.
And it's been a good relationship for both of you.
It's been a great relationship.
It really has.
Yep.
All right, here's another name. Kenny Henson.
Oh, okay. Excuse me a moment. he was my hero. He was my hero. He was a consistent friend. He sang at mine and Tracy's wedding in 87. And which Tracy always said, he said, "Well," he said, "you couldn't marry Kenny. So you got the next best thing." but he was to me, the all-time greatest singer in gospel music. I think he was way ahead of his time.
Yeah, definitely a legend.
Legend.
Gospel music. He's legend. Very, very talented individual. Yeah. All right, another name. This is a dangerous name. Troy Peach.
Thorn in the flesh. I would rank him and Bill Bailey to be in the same category.
Wow.
Almost. Yeah. No, Troy, I will have to say, I think Bill said this at Tracy's funeral. Had Troy not have came back with the Perrys 6 years ago, there might not have been a Perrys. And Troy has stepped in. He has tucked the weight of the world off of my shoulders. And I cannot say enough about him and the great job that he has done, and the junk that he puts up with you know, having to deal with everything in the group.
Right.
And but he does it with a smile on his face, and you know, sometimes I think it wears him out and gives him out, but he never complains.
Well, you know, even though the Perrys are not a quartet in the traditional definition of a quartet, Troy is a quartet guy.
He's a quartet guy.
Whatever it takes to get the date done.
Exactly. And, you know, if you look up the word servant in the dictionary, it would have his picture beside of it.
Oh, Troy, don't you feel good about that? Oh, he's almost crying, Libby.
Yeah,
he's almost crying. Well, let's talk about a couple things that the Perrys are well known for, and Libby does play into this quite a bit. The Perrys have a remarkable track record of finding great songs. You can almost pick up any Perrys recording, and you're going to find not one, not two, but a truckload of great songs. What has been, if you could try to put into words the formula that has made it work for the Perrys to always be able just to find the perfect song for the perfect time, what do you think's been going on there?
Well, you know, we try to really just seek God to send us the songs that are needed for that season that we're in our life, not just for us, but for the fans. And we have just had some of the most incredible writers. And without the writers, you know, a lot of people overlook the writers. They think that they're not important. Well, without the writers, we'd have no song to sing.
Right.
And so I really feel like that every song has a season, and finding that song in the season that you're in, I think is a big deal. And, you know, and we try to remember who we sing to. You know, a lot of people said, "Well, why do y'all keep the same style? Why do you, do this, do that. Well, because of the people we sing to, you know, the majority of our audience is older, and they're church-based, you know, most of them. And so we try to, and with me, when I go to pick a song, I have to feel that song. Mm-hmm. If I don't feel it, I can't relate to it, I can't sing it.
Well, speaking of that, what is your all-time favorite Perry song?
Oh, wow. Probably, I was talking about this weekend. We were watching, me and a friend were watching YouTube stuff. And, you know, Dottie Rambo was one of my best friends. And she wrote a song years ago called Holy Hills. And when my older brother passed away in July 30th, 1970, that song was sang at his funeral. And that has probably, and we recorded it later on down the road, and that's probably my favorite, just for the message in it, mm-hmm. you know. But right now, my favorite song is off of our new album called Take Me to the Cross.
Great song.
Let Me Take You to the Cross. Just such powerhouse of a song with a message that, you know, if you feel unloved and you feel like nobody cares about you and you feel like God don't care and you feel like he's lost your address and, you know, so much of the world is caving in on top of you and stuff, and you ask yourself, does he even care? Does he even love me? Let me take you to the cross.
Great stuff.
Let's look into the face of the one who chose to die for every one of us. That's love.
That's exactly right. You're listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News Magazine. Speaking of Singing News Magazine, if you want to keep up with everything that's going on in the world of gospel music with the Perrys, with Bill Bailey Concerts, and everything else that you hear talked about here on Danny's Diary, you need Singing News Magazine coming to your mailbox every month. You can do that by calling 800-527-5226. Or visiting singingnews.com and click on the subscribe tab. It will have all the information that you need. Our guest today is Libby Stuffel of the Perrys. And Libby, we talked about this earlier, your love for Christmas. You're all things Christmas. Christmas tree's already up. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised you even took it down from previous years. How many Christmas trees do you actually have?
In my house right now, counting little tiny ones and stuff, probably 1, 2, 3, 4. Probably 4, but I'm not done yet, so.
You still got a few more days till Christmas.
Yeah, so probably 4, counting all my little, like, ones in the bathroom and stuff like that.
All right, we're going to ask you a few little questions just for kicks and giggles here. Let's see what your response is. If you were not singing, what would your occupation be?
If I wasn't singing, I always wanted to be a hairdresser, always. And but the older that I've gotten, that's still what I would do. But I would do it in a different aspect than being in a hair salon somewhere, you know, every day. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but my aspect of being that is to be on the streets.
Really?
And for the homeless, uh-huh. having some kind of setup to where you could wash their hair and cut it and style it and all this stuff on the street, you know, and just to make them feel good about themselves, feel clean. And, you know, everybody deserves to be loved. And, you know, but not everybody wants to get their hands dirty. And, you know, I think sometimes we need to come out of our comfort zone. And I've been very blessed. Oh, my word, I'm so blessed. And, you know, sometimes I feel guilty for being so blessed when you can drive down the streets. You know, we live in Nashville. You can drive down the streets in Nashville and you see the homeless, you know, on the street corners or under a bridge. And, you know, you're like, God, I'm not sleeping in a cardboard box tonight.
Right.
I'm sleeping in a bed with a roof over my head and food on my table. And but that's what I would that has always been my dream, is to take it to the streets and you know, and maybe somehow fix something to where they could go in and, you know, have like a portable shower house or something, and they could shower and you know, get their hair cut and, you know, just little stuff like
that. Just feel
loved
to make them for a half
feel
hour
good.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, just make them. And, you know, because when you go get your hair cut and, well, I mean, you don't have much to cut.
Thanks, Libby.
But for those that do, you know, when you go get your hair fixed and you get your hair cut and stuff, you automatically, when you walk out, you know, you feel great. You know, you're looking in the mirror and you're like, oh, I love this. You know, it makes you happy. And that's what I've always wanted to do. And I did that 1 year at convention to a couple. And you know who they are. They were from Murfreesboro, promoted a little bit. But a lot of people never would give them a lot of respect. And so I brought them to my motel room and I made them, you know, clean up and stuff and wash their hair, brush their teeth and stuff. And so I did a makeover on both of them. And one was guy, one was his wife. And they went to the, and I made them bring, you know, I said, I don't care if you have anything or not, bring your Sunday best, whatever, you know, you cannot have anything but still look nice.
Right.
And so they brought the best clothes they had. And that night they went into convention and they came by my booth toward the end of the night and they were crying. And they said, we have never had so many people to stop and talk to us and compliment us on how good we looked. And said, we just want to thank you for taking the time for us. And, you know, that's all it takes is a little time.
And that's a little ministry that may not mean much to the world, but it meant everything to those two
to
people.
To them, exactly.
All right, let's talk about this. When you're not in work mode, when you're it's just Libby, she's on her day off or a week off, whatever, the state that you would like, let's go this way. The state that you would like to live in the most that you don't currently live in. You can't say Tennessee.
But Montana.
Why?
I just love it because there's nothing out there. It's just kind of wide open mountains and fields and streams and, you know, it's peaceful.
That would be a long commute to meet the bus.
Not a lot of cell service. Yeah, but that's my favorite state of all states that we've been in.
So can you realistically see yourself moving out there someday?
If I didn't sing and if my mom wasn't still alive, yes.
So yes. If you are a promoter in Montana and you are listening to this podcast, we have the group for you. Now, Troy's over shaking his head, but Libby says, let's do it. So,
I'll do some solo dates.
Hey, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. All right, and also too, let's go back and talk about this. You've been, you know, of course, you're an original member of the Perrys, so you've spent all of your adult life and even pre-adult life on a bus, traveling coast to coast, all around.
This December 25th will be 49 years.
49 years, and that's pretty amazing considering you're
only
41.
Which I started 9 months when I was in the womb.
There you go, right, okay. Always that asterisk comes along there somewhere. The most memorable road story of your career would be what? Oh, I see the wheels turning.
And I can tell it.
Okay, well.
Probably the funniest, and I think Randy told this story at Tracy's funeral. It's about my dad. My dad, you know, he traveled with us all the time. So he was always one that he never brought a pillow, he never brought a blanket, never brought a towel or washcloth, which he didn't take a bath but once a week, whether he needed it or not. So so it's the truth. And so anyway, we were working this outdoors thing in it's Greenland Park in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Right.
And so we had been outside all day, and it was dusty and dirty and stuff, and almost fall of the year. And so that night when we got done, everybody got on the bus, and we was going down the road, and we finally got parked, and so Daddy got ready to go to bed. Well, everybody on the bus figured out that if they would go to bed before Daddy did, they didn't have to give up their pillow or blanket. And so
that sounds like a conspiracy there.
So he got ready to go to bed. Well, you know, he's like, "Well, where's my pillow and blanket?" And everybody's like, "It's every man for himself," you know. And he's like, "On this bus, on this group, you know, y'all need to have me a pillow and you need to have me a blanket." And so Randy, he said, "Well," he said, "we got the table cover that we use today out there outside." And so somebody got off the bus and went and got it, brought it back to him. So everybody, you know, it got quiet on the bus. Everybody was in bed. And all at once, I don't know, it's probably 20 minutes, we hear Daddy, "Ticks! Ticks! They're everywhere! They're everywhere!" Well, my dad was bald-headed, and he was real hairy. He looked like a little gorilla. And he's standing out in the middle of the hallway, and he was in his boxer shorts, and he looked like a dog fleeing himself. And he said, there's ticks everywhere. He said, "There's ticks all in the bunk and all over the blanket." And he was just knocking ticks off of him left and right. We all could not help him because we were just dying laughing. And he's like, "All right, y'all go ahead. Y'all just go ahead. You laugh. You know, it ain't funny." And, I mean, we absolutely, and when we pulled that table cover out of that bunk, there were ticks going up the wall, everything. And so, yeah, that was one of our funniest moments.
Wow.
Just to see him, you had to.
If it's going to happen, it will happen to a gospel group. That's the long and long and short of that. Our guest today on Danny's Diary has been Libby Stuffle of the Perrys. Libby, thank you for coming by. We appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. I mean, you've had everybody else in the world but me, so I'm beginning to wonder.
Well, you kept putting it off.
But you know, they do say you save the best for last. So
okay, well, I guess you've heard it here. Hey, make sure you stay tuned. There is more Danny's Diary on the way. Be looking for our next guest. And thanks for tuning in to Danny's Diary.